All right, and welcome to another episode of Two Guys, One Level, a place where two guys talk about all things gaming. I'm your host, Tortuga, accompanied by Pixel.
And welcome back once again, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to join us here. We got May 13th, one day after The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom release. So happy Zelda release day to all who celebrate.
Yeah. So far, nothing but good news, good reviews from the people. Although, it is important to note that the game was leaked about 2 weeks before release.
Yeah, and I know Nintendo is just preparing to go to war once they find that leaker. I read a headline. I didn't read the full article, but it was so serious that Nintendo actually put a DCMA on a legitimate streamer of how hard they were cracking down.
Yeah, but the funny part about that is that legitimate streamer was streaming the gameplay that Nintendo released, like already approved gameplay content. Oh,
yeah, so imagine that's how serious Nintendo's getting. Like, and you know what's crazy? I don't know what it is, if it's like the infamy that they might get, but just look at the story of that. What's that guy's name? Mr. Bowser, the guy who just is doing jail time and now has to pay Nintendo like $10 million for ROMs for older games. And people are still like willing to leak Nintendo games. That takes balls or stupidity.
Yeah. But if I remember right, the Mr. Bowser case involved levels of hacking and gaining access to things that he wasn't supposed to. If I'm remembering correctly, I do remember Mr. Bowser going down via Nintendo, which is just, you know, comical, given that Bowser falls under Nintendo's IP. But I do feel like he did break the law to do that. I want to say that's correct.
I honestly only remember him having a ROM site, and he told Nintendo, go kick rocks. That's what I remember.
Yeah, it seems like that's the go-to answer for just about everyone dealing with Nintendo, because yeah, it seems like once you disturb the dragon, they go full force. And I mean, not for nothing, leaking your entire game 2 weeks before launch is devastating, right? That's going to kill their numbers. That's going to kill their reputation. Nintendo does pretty good as far as avoiding leaks in general. Maybe a little snippet here and there of some things, but the entire game, I can't remember in recent history where that's happened before.
Yeah, it's something. Especially when you think about it, people have been waiting just about, let's see, it was March 2017. I think they announced the sequel like 2019. So about a solid 4 years, we can say, that people have been waiting for this to have it leaked. And there are some people who were not going to shell out the $70, or if they could avoid shelling out that $70, they're going to do it. So who knows how many, how much Nintendo actually lost.
Yeah, that's interesting. We'll see. We'll see what come of it. I feel like Nintendo has the resources and the means to track down like the balls on this person to do such a, because you have to know Nintendo's reputation as far as cracking down on anything they don't agree with. So right, to be on the inside and to just have the balls to just say, hey, I'm gonna release the entire game to the world, like wild, just wild.
Yeah, like I don't know if they didn't think twice about it, or again, like what part of what's enticing them to do it? Like just right, to say they can? Is it a monetary compensation kind of thing?
Right. Yeah, we won't know until this person is caught or messes up and tweets about it, you know, gloats about it. Because a lot of the time, that's what happens with these major things. Like, people feel so good that they were able to one up a major company like Nintendo that they just can't help but to tell the people around them. And eventually, the word spreads and gets traced back to them. So we'll see if anything comes of this. I know Nintendo's not going to stop until they have someone's head on the chopping block.
That is absolutely true. Especially like with this one, like, their major, I mean, almost every Zelda game is like a major release aside from, you know, back in the like Game Boy kind of era. Those were more considered like side games, but like their major console releases, you know, the Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword, like those were in their mainline game. So for someone to do it to this one, it's, man, I almost want this dude to get caught, or whoever to get caught, just to see what Nintendo's gonna do, like what their wrath is capable of.
Oh, it's 100% everything that the law is capable of. I mean, they're not gonna do anything illegal. They're not gonna kill the guy or girl. They're not. But they will lawyer the hell up and spend every amount that they need to put this person behind bars. That's, I feel, is gonna be their ultimate goal, because they're gonna want to make an example of this person. Like, no one does this to Nintendo, and it's just so funny to picture Nintendo as this such big evil corp, but they put out these cute games. Like, it's just a very interesting contrast, in my opinion. You know, when Nintendo becomes the corporation, big bad evil company, but they put out games that we like, so we like them again,
bro. But then they put out a Zelda sequel, so I didn't leak it, so it's okay.
Not my game, not my problem, bro. So, interestingly enough, a big important change is coming via Discord that has every gaming community, you know, talking about it, and no one's really happy about it. And I can't figure out why they're doing this. So, basically, Discord sent out a message to all the channels saying that a big change is coming up. And essentially, they are changing the way the username system works currently. So right now, if you have Discord, you can pick whatever name you want, right? And then they'll put a hashtag and then a 4-digit number behind it to give you your unique name. And then it has an identifier behind it in case there are multiple in the world, which makes sense. And the cool thing is that every time you join a server, it just shows the unique name that you picked and not necessarily the 4-digit identifier. So it looks pretty clean. I remember Microsoft was trying to adopt something like that, and they failed to do that. Discord seems to be the only one who has done it right. That said, though, Discord has sent out a message saying this system is going away, and they're moving towards unique usernames, meaning your name that you picked and your 4-digit identifier are going away. And then you'll be forced to switch to a unique username. So basically, like every other website in the world. And they're addressing this in their, what they call, in the, you know, a fair manner, by you're going to get your email or notification. I don't know how they're notifying people, but you're going to get, you know, notified that your time to change your username is now based on the age of your Discord. So those who made a Discord account first, will receive the message saying you can now change to a username, and you have to, like, this is a forced change. It's not optional. And to get the name that you want without additional numbers on there, you would have had to make a Discord account, you know, one of the first hundreds, when this app first launched. So that's just an important note, because I know if you're listening to this, you're part of a gaming community of some kind. And if you haven't gotten the notification yet from Discord, yeah, that's coming down the pipeline, which I personally don't like. I hate this idea.
I'm there with you. I don't know why they would go back to what's essentially an archaic method of gathering a username. Like, yeah, I thought they were past that.
I feel like they created something new that worked. I love the fact that I could put Tortuga, and every time I join a server, that it's there. Even if there are 70 other out there, which I hate the fact that it's a popular name. I never thought that as a kid growing up that Tortuga would have been so damn popular, but I can never. It's rare. I have like maybe two or three sites where I got the first Tortuga of that site, and I didn't have to put numbers at the end of it to, you know, to keep the name, but then add some random numbers. And my Discord account was created in 2016, I think June of 2016, and Discord officially released in May of 2015. So I feel like I might have a chance, because Discord wasn't very popular when I signed up. You know, within that 1 year, it was still growing. It definitely wasn't what it is today. So I don't know. It definitely hurts to just to know. And they said that they're gonna make it that it still shows the name that you want to show. Like, I guess they're gonna create an option on your page, like, what nickname do you want to default when you join servers? So it's like, what's the point of all of this? The only thing I can think of is here's my aluminum hat, right? Is I think they may have something in the works with Microsoft. They already have something where you can join Microsoft parties and such from Discord. They have, you know, some two-way communication thing, but something tells me the fact that Microsoft was unable to adopt this system that Discord have, and now Discord is changing to the system that Microsoft uses. Granted, so does every other website in the world, but I feel like they might have something in the works that is even beyond this game party chat that is currently in existence. I don't know. That's just my guess.
I mean, it's always good to have a tinfoil hat. I don't know. It is very odd, you know, considering that they would have to revamp their entire original system. So who knows what kind of money they had to put into this, you know, what kind of man hours for the coding, the registration, yeah, the customer support they're going to have to put through as well. It's just, it doesn't seem, from my standpoint, you know, from the end user, it doesn't seem logical for them to do that in a perfectly working system.
Right. I 100% agree, which is why the only thing that I can think of that would make a company do something illogical is when there's a lot of money involved. And who has a lot of money to make someone change the way they operate? Microsoft, 100%. They have money to throw around to grow. They can pay a GDP for like 18 countries if they wanted to.
They probably literally grow money. That's where we are.
I just want to make one quick note before you transition us to a better news, is the fact that this will most likely, no guarantee yet, but will most likely break every single Discord bot in existence, given that every Discord bot is tied to the current system of name and then hashtag 4-digit identifier.
Oh, that's going to be fun for them.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to give bots first dibs, or I don't know. They're going to have to figure that out, but most likely will break every bot that, you know, and bots are server enhancers. I like to look at them. They provide a unique service, and most of the time, if not all of the time, I don't know if there's any paid services, but it's someone developed this bot for free. They might have a you know, buy me a cup of coffee page, but outside of that, every bot I've ever come across in Discord is a free, you know, bot that will perform some kind of service to enhance whatever you're trying to operate in your service. Like, we have one right now in ours called, what is it, Wario 64, something like that.
Do we have the Wario bot?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing bot. I love that. I love that dude so much.
Yeah, so we have a bot that basically reports any kind of like deals that are going on in every corner of the gaming community. So anytime Steam puts up a free game, or Epic, or GOG, or PlayStation, or Xbox, or whatever, what anything gaming is releasing something, like changing the price to free. I think it only announces to free or massive discounts, like 85% off, 90% off the, you know, popular games. And this bot basically just, it creates a tweet, and then this bot grabs that tweet and lets us know that, you know, this is a new deal that you can take advantage of. So things like that. And there's hundreds of bots in Discord. But again, if you run a Discord server, just please note, you probably already got the notification, but please note that bots may break once this is, you know, enforced.
And other news for this super sadness. Very recently, there we got an update on a stunt back from 2021. So to bring you guys up to speed, back in 2021, a YouTuber named Trevor Jacob essentially jumped out of an airplane and like crashed it, like GTA style. Originally, I believe he stated that it was like an engine failure or something like that. Well, looks like our boy's in a little bit of trouble. He, you know, was like cursing his misfortune. You know, he bailed out and he crashed this thing over in Southern California. So he made a whole video about, you know, his harrowing adventure, his daring escape, survival, and all that good stuff. Turns out that was kind of fake. He recently admitted that it was actually due to a sponsorship that he did it. And it's apparently a sponsorship deal. It's currently an unnamed company, but it was supposed to promote a wallet. And people are speculating that it's like Rigid Wallet, which apparently is a terrible sponsor that they are notorious for like not paying out. And that's not even the worst thing of it. After everything and, you know, the announcement, the recent like reports and everything, he's actually currently facing up to 20 years in federal prison.
Because of the liability of that plane could have killed someone.
Right. All that good stuff. Essentially lying about it, the actual crash. So he essentially, there was nothing wrong with the plane. So it was just, you know, a whole bunch of liability. Just
crash it.
Right.
Who owns airspace? FAA?
Yes, the FAA.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't play.
They don't.
FAA, I know every time they come up. And you know what's funny about the FAA? They're not necessarily looking to, you know, send people to jail or fine people or what have you. Like, this is one of the most passive organizations that we have in our government, where it's like, just don't do stupid shit and we don't have to do anything. Like, that's literally how they operate. But when you do stupid shit, they go full force and they hammer you down. This is like the Nintendo.
Yeah, because you have the FAA, and you also have the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, what does he run? The NTSB. Think so it's essentially two, but looks like the National Transportation Safety Board, so he did report it, but apparently he lied to investigators and destroyed evidence. He's a little bit hot water, and I know it's not exactly video game news,
but his name's in Grand Theft Auto, so suck it.
Right, it's a Grand Theft Auto type of deal. So we'll try to keep you guys posted on that, but I'm pretty sure that guy's up Schitt's Creek without a paddle.
You know, not that it's big news, but it's a perfect trend. Just a quick note, just because Grand Theft Auto and the guy's name is Trevor, the guy who played Trevor kind of hinted that he's going to have a part in Grand Theft Auto 6.
That'd be awesome. I still remember that alpha footage that came out. I was really impressed with it already. So
yeah.
I have nothing but high hopes for 6. Next thing there was actually like a leaked video a couple weeks ago that supposedly someone from Rockstar North leaked, but people pointed out almost immediately is like the level of detail and like missed things in this video that no way Rockstar released this, because one of the things that they noticed that they showed like a couple cars that looked like the actual IRL cars. It was like Rockstar would never do that. They would never take on any liability for that. But some Valheim news. We haven't talked about these guys in a while since their release over to Xbox Game Pass, PC Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass. I forgot which one. I love Valheim. Something about the atmosphere and just playing around and just mind numbing, chopping wood, gathering stone, just mind numbing game just does it for me. All right.
We all have one.
But someone in Valheim recreated an entire area using just like the in-game models, right? Like it was all handcrafted. But someone created the opening area of Stormwind in World of Warcraft, and they recreated it in Valheim.
Pretty sure Stormwind is an Alliance base, so I don't care too much.
Right. But it's World of Warcraft.
No, but that's pretty cool.
And I thought you would enjoy that.
No, that's pretty neat. I love when people do that. People have done that for anything that can create an environment, like Minecraft I've seen. I've seen Unreal Engine. Oh my God, the Orgrimmar in Unreal Engine 5 or 4? Maybe 4, because it's a long time ago. But still, through Unreal Engine, I don't know if you ever saw that. Oh my God.
I have not.
Jaw-dropping.
You know what I still watch every once in a while, though? The dude is recreating parts of Ocarina of Time in Unreal Engine 5.
Also, oh my God, jaw-dropping. Yeah. It's insane how beautiful that it comes to.
And every time I open it up, it's like, are you sure it didn't look like this on the Nintendo 64? Like, are you sure? You sure about that? You sure about that?
Oh, man, it's incredible what people can do. I saw a video, I want to say yesterday. Someone created just a very small part of Pokemon Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, that area of when you meet Rayquaza and they made the entire game in Unreal Engine 5. It played horribly. It played horribly, but it looked beautiful. And he even created the entire system where you run into a Pokemon, you battle it out, or you can catch it, you can kill it, what have you. But, you know, it was very unpolished, but it just the fact that it was done, it just makes you wonder if it would ever be adopted by any of these creators. Granted, I doubt it, because I don't know if the Switch can handle the Unreal Engine.
Probably not.
So, but it was just incredible to see it done. Just, I don't know. Because Unreal Engine is capable of so, so much, and I don't know if you knew this. I think we already talked about it, but Unreal Engine not only is featured in video games, but it's featured in a lot of TV shows and movies.
I did not know that.
Yeah. The Mandalorian, all through Unreal Engine.
That's crazy.
All the background stuff. They generate it through Unreal Engine. They put it on a green screen and they go at it. Crazy, right? And parts of the Avengers series, parts of a lot of the Marvel series, like a lot of it's generated through Unreal Engine because it just looks that good. You can create 8K content through Unreal Engine, and most of our computers can't do it. But these massive movie producing companies, they have screens and computer processing power that can generate 8K footage and process it. So you develop it in 8K, you bring that down to what our current TV can handle, which is 4K. It looks that much better. Because it was caught in 8K. So Unreal Engine does a lot, period. It's a very powerful tool. And if you ever think about making video games, I highly recommend you dive into Unreal Engine. And what's cool about Unreal Engine, Epic has like a small folder, like a learning kind of system where they can teach you how the UI works and how to create things that be eventually build a game by following the steps that they released. And there's plenty of YouTube videos. It's, I don't know, I can rant about it forever of how great of a tool it is. And it's free. That's the part that kills me.
Yeah.
It is $0 to the user. It is 100% free unless you publish a game and make money on it. And if you make money on it, it's your money up to $1 million. And then anything after $1 million, you pay 5% to Epic. That's it. Not 30. You know,
just to kind of throw a minor little caveat in there, it's like a lot of the assets there are a lot of free assets, but there are some that you do have to pay for.
And that is a good caveat. But that's not driven by Epic. It's driven by the uploaders of those assets. They just, you know, it's a marketplace, essentially, where they throw it into. So it's up to them to choose. But the free ones is more than enough, to be honest. And then there are, you're right. There are some people who create packs of full worlds and they have the rules already laid out, like the wind, the trees, how the grass operates. Because you can literally change any kind of like level of physics in the game. It's incredible the level of detail that you have to, one, consider, and two, that Epic gives access to just on this free tool. It's nuts.
It is. I'm gonna throw out a couple of things in here. They're just some news, but nothing really out of this world. Square Enix is considering creating some new studios and acquiring existing ones since they had poor sales for the 2023 fiscal year. The Hogwarts Legacy Nintendo Switch release has been delayed. I think that that was pushed back to November.
Wow.
And you know, they put out their PR. We're just trying to give everyone the best experience possible. Yada yada, all that stuff. For anyone looking forward to Amnesia the Bunker, those Amnesia games, that was delayed by 2 weeks. Not terrible, but I understand. I just had something else. Where did you go? The producer for Tears of the Kingdom, Eiji Aonuma, came out and said that he has actually beaten Tears of the Kingdom 20 times.
Damn.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
This person collected the free leak that was pushed out? Because, I mean, there's no way, right? Since yesterday?
No, this is the producer. He's had the game for, you know, weeks. He's a Nintendo person. He's actually the guy. Did you watch the gameplay demo?
No. Well, the one where they showed how this new fusion functioned. That's the only one that I've seen.
Yep. Yeah. So that guy, that Japanese dude, Eiji Aonuma, he's the one. Did you know Diablo 4 was getting like a battle pass?
No, I feel like I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Diablo 4, they just announced a couple days ago details for like the season. But there is an actual battle pass that Diablo 4 is getting. It's a standard, I think it's like 60-something tiers, if I'm not mistaken.
Does that mean that Diablo 4 is going to be free? Because just about every game that does a battle pass system means the core game is free, right?
That's not happening.
What?
Yeah, Diablo 4, they released the battle pass pricing. It's $10 for the premium and $25 for the accelerated.
I'm so confused. And there's still a price for the core game.
Yeah.
What in the EA is this?
what in the Blizzard is this? Blizzard is not known for, you know, being shy about asking for money. So
no, you're not wrong. It's just it's just weird because I think I guess well it's not Battle Network, Jesus. Battle Frontier, right? That's the Star Wars
Battlefront.
Battlefront. That was a paid game that had a battle pass system in it, right? That's the only one that I can think of. Everything else with the battle pass I can think of is free to play.
I do not remember Battlefront with a battle pass system, but I could definitely be mistaken.
Well, I mean, that just pushes the point that everyone that does it is free, which is still bad for Blizzard. Like, that's weird. A weird thing to do. Force people to buy a game and then force them put a battle system in place. Like, granted, that's going to make them more money than the sales of the game. Now they're double dipping, and I don't know. That doesn't sit right with me.
Bro, won't someone please think of the shareholders?
Yes.
Opposite of Square Enix, Nintendo actually had a really good year with Scarlet and Violet, Splatoon 3, and the Metroid Prime Remastered. They all exceeded expectations on sales. So Nintendo's rolling in the dough right now. And then some odd news came out a couple days ago. I didn't know they had something going on, but do you remember Niantic? The devs of Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
They just released another like AR pet sim game, Peridot? Peridot? Sounds right. And they're pretty cutesy, I guess. But if anyone's still playing Pokemon Go and you want something else from these guys, you got another game.
They also make a Harry Potter version of Pokemon Go. I gave it a go. I didn't like it too much, but it was neat, I guess. also made by them. So if you're a purveyor of the Go type games, there you have it. And I wasn't going to bring it up because it's not major news, but apparently the numbers reported for the last quarter for Pokemon Go were low, but Pokemon Go came out and said, none of that is true. Our numbers are higher than was reported, but they haven't reported what the numbers were. It's weird.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
But they just said, no, that's not true. All right. You want to back it up?
They're like, source, trust me, bro.
Right. I mean, they might have come out with the numbers since I saw that article. It was weeks ago, but you mentioned Pokemon Go and it made me think of that. But speaking of Go, CSGO is back in the news. They broke their records of players on Steam. Consecutive players in one, like, at the same time, I guess. From 1.5 million back in March. This is not that long ago. Back in March, they broke their record. They hit 1.5 million players. And the new record is 1.8 million as of early May.
300,000 people. That is not chump change. That's actually pretty insane.
In a 2-month span. Crazy. It always blows my mind that this 20-year-old game is killing it. I mean, I don't know if it's 20 years exactly, but it's old.
Yeah, no, so that's actually about. I remember playing Counter-Strike in 2005. And it was already kind of popular around that time. We set up a LAN in high school, in whatchamacallit, in my computer class. So we had like a little home group going, like nothing crazy, but you know, that was already a capability for that game. So, wow, that's something. That is not something to take lightly. That's pretty amazing.
They keep holding that record. And I feel like no matter, every time a game is released on Steam, or not released, but available on Steam, and they do well, it's always compared to CSGO, like as far as peak numbers go, and no one ever comes close. And we're talking about, you know, new releases versus something that's been here for so long. The game is probably older than a lot of its player base, to be honest.
You're not wrong.
What?
You're not wrong. Not seeing the gates, but you're not wrong.
So it's just crazy to me, and it just goes to speak that the fundamentals and the mechanics of the game outweighs the graphics, right? No one is playing it because of beautiful graphics and the great reactions of getting shot and blown up. Like, that's not what it's being played for. It's being played for the games, the fundamentals of what makes that game unique. So it's just interesting, and I wish more people would dissect why CSGO is so popular, because CSGO is coming out with a new version eventually. They announced that there's going to be...
Yeah, people were already testing it out. Should be fully launched by summer, CSGO essentially 2.0.
Yeah, so they are revamping it entirely, so I'm curious to see what's going to happen to the community, because is it going to be a hard cutoff date for the CSGO servers and forcing everyone to move over? What's going to happen to everyone's equipment and unique skins, because they have the black market on skins? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one to watch, because CSGO is such a staple as far as gaming goes.
That is going to be it for me. If you plan on getting Tears of the Kingdom without playing Breath of the Wild, you can. I personally would not recommend it. There's just so much to do in both games. I've barely scratched the surface. I'm having the time of my life, though. I got killed by a tree. A literal tree.
Like a non-aggressive... It's not a monster as a tree? Like just
no,
tree?
No, it is a monster as a tree. Okay. I swung at a bokoblin. Dude jumped up out of his roots and smacked me with his fucking branches and killed me. It was all right,
some Harry Potter style.
Yeah, it was. Cool. I was not very happy. I was pretty upset. Yeah, that's gonna be it for me, bro.
All right, I got one last quick note that you might find interesting. Starfield. I don't know if it's on your radar as a day zero game or day
One. I might get it as a Game Pass release. I might renew Game Pass for like that month.
Got it. That's fair. They're in the news because apparently the ESRB rating was leaked, which doesn't say too much, but it kind of gives some insight of what to expect in the game as far as content goes. So apparently it's going to be a mature plus 17 game, which is promising. It means that it's going to carry some hardcore things. And some of the things noted was it's going to include violence, expected, blood, expected, suggestive themes, whatever that means, strong language, not bad, and the use of drugs, which I think is random, but apparently there might be drugs in Starfield.
I read something one time that it was for a movie to keep a PG-13 rating, you can have one curse word, just one. So very curious. I'm sure the gaming version of it shouldn't be too different. I did see one additional thing in regards to that since you brought it up. I saw something about it had someone said that they saw the worst post sex dialogue that they've ever seen in an RPG. And something about jetpack sex, which I don't know what's going to go on with that, but that's
okay.
That I'm kind of sold on that.
You're sold on that?
Jetpack sex? Yeah. That'll do it for me. It reminds me of, you didn't play Mass Effect Andromeda, right?
No, not Andromeda. I still have it sealed, bro.
Jesus. So
I bought it release day. And bro, life was so busy at that time when that game came out. I was too busy. I couldn't even unwrap it from the plastic. It's still in the plastic for Xbox.
That's pretty crazy.
So no, I haven't played it. I own it, but I haven't played it.
So if the next Mass Effect uses the Andromeda combat, I think it'll be so much better. Like, the combat was really, really good in Andromeda. Much more fluid. But
compared to what though? Because 3 was pretty good. If you're comparing it to 1, yeah, anything is better than that.
No, even 3 fell stiff after playing Andromeda. So you know, I played Andromeda first. And having played the trilogy, I understand a lot of the complaints now. But yeah, what you can sleep with Asari that you meet. And a lot of, I think that particular sex scene is done in like 0G. So
it's pretty funny.
Yeah. So yeah, the jetpack sex, nah, that'll do it for me.
All right. Andromeda has unlocked some things in you, I see. Interesting. I had no idea.
Her in particular, she was kind of annoying. But she was like the other God, what the hell is her name?
The main one from the first three?
Yeah.
I can't remember her name. I want to say it starts with an L, but I can't remember.
Liara?
Something. Liara? That's something like that. I feel like you're close. You might be pronouncing a vowel off here or there, but I feel like that's right. But I remember when that game was being played, the popular one was starts with a T, the one that never took her mask off.
Tali, she would die. I became so obsessed with her. It is... From game one, I was like, I need this.
Yeah. And I think what's funny, I want to say in 3, she like hints that she'll take off her mask or something for you or something. But I don't think that obviously ever happens, or at least it's never shown.
So one of the things in 3, a little spoiler warning, if you're listening. In Mass Effect 3, if you do get your relationship with Tali, the first time you sleep together, I want to say it's in that game. The first time you sleep with her, she ends up like sick because of how their biology is. But then right before the final mission, you know, you have the chance to sleep with her again. And like at that point, I guess they build up an immunity to a person that they're supposed to be with. So she doesn't have that anymore. And then, yeah, and then there's a picture in the commander's room, in Commander Shepard's room, her with her mask off. So in in the original game, in the original release, it was some model that they ended up doing, but they did change like the actual face model for the remaster, so it looks like more photo like. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, time to play through the series real quick.
I honestly did not care about anyone. Once I found out you can get in a relationship with Tali, I literally ignored everyone else. Like, she was like my only focus.
Oh, that's so comical. I started the first one. I don't know if I told you that.
I did as well. It was
you restarted the first one?
Yeah, so I beat it on PC, but since I'm like rarely at the computer anymore, it was free on PlayStation, the remaster edition. Wow. A while back.
Yeah.
So I ended up picking it up and I just started the I just played around a little bit with the first one.
It's such a great game. Did you do a lot of exploring or did you just try to beat it as fast as possible?
No, I did a good chunk of exploring.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful game and it's so detailed in the way that the races have history with one another. You can go on and obviously I don't remember much of it because I played it when they were being released so long ago. So I don't remember too much, but I just remember that every time like some races hated each other, right? Based on some lore, some things that happened eons ago and they just absolutely hated one another. But it was your job as Commander Shepard to bridge those gaps in order to, you know, unify everyone because you had an overlooming threat that was going to kill everything. So you would have to make them work together and figure those things out. And a lot of the time it wasn't obvious. Some of them were, some things were more hidden, that you, depending on what NPCs you talk to, you would learn about, you know, their species and whatnot. It's just such an incredibly detailed game, like down to its core and just the amount of writing. And it's for me, given the time when this was created, it's the same level of lore detail that they gave Elden Ring. Like everything has a purpose,
right? Like notably, something that you don't learn until I want to say maybe the second or even the third game is that the first contact where the humans first met with an alien species, it was the Turians, and they were actually at war for a while.
And that would have really happened. I feel like that was exactly what would happen if we came into contact with an alien species and like both interacted with one another. I feel like the human race is so damn aggressive that we would just immediately go to war with something we don't understand off the bat.
Yep. And the Krogan were, I think they were hired by the Salarians and they got so scared of them, and that's how they created the genophage for them.
I don't remember it that way. I do remember that they went to war with somebody. I forgot who it was. But like I said, I haven't played these games since release dates ages ago. Beautiful game, beautiful story. And I mean, the first one is clunky. I feel like they did a good job with the remastered of revamping it a little bit, but still clunky. But Mass Effect is played more so for the story than so for, I guess, the gameplay.
Right. No, you're right, because you gotta first, it's an RPG first and foremost, so that's where, you know, you have your points, you have the dialogue, the Paragon, the Renegade.
Yep. But that didn't start till was that immediate from one?
No, you remember. Still had it for, like, conversations.
Oh, okay. But you didn't, you're facial features and stuff, all that happened after two, right? I want to say.
Yep. Yeah.
Such a great game. Very cool. Well, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, definitely it for me.
Yeah, same. Definitely nice capping it off there with Mass Effect, but I have nothing else. You have nothing else, so I'm going to go ahead and sign us off. Thank you all for hanging out with us yet another week. You can always check our links in the description below for all of our other content. You can reach out to us via Twitter at @2guys1level. Let us know what you thought of this episode, any previous episodes, and what you would like for us to talk about in any future episodes. As always, we appreciate you, and we will catch you all next time. Till then.